Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right.
The Philadelphia offensive line can't carry the Hogs jockey strap.
I think the Philadelphia offensive line is pretty good. I don't know if they can hold the Hogs jockey strap, but they're pretty good. And I guess that's the sole reason, the main reason why Jalen Hurts has been good in the postseason. I don't know. We've been kicking around that. And then also Andrew Hawkins of ESPN, how we kind of got stuck on this, said that Jaden Daniels right now is the best quarterback in the NFC. And I started wondering, is that fair? Is that right? I mean, I would take him over anybody, clearly. But is he the best right now already? And so I asked you that. I personally need to see a little bit more. Not much more, but a little bit more. I think that's fair. I don't think that's wrong of me. But I'm sure Paulie will tell me that I'm full of baloney. What's up, Paulie? How are you?
Hey, to the W, man. What's up, Russell?
What's going on, Paulie?
What's going on with you, man?
What's shaking?
Hey, listen, I was all prepared to go in on you, Pauls. But your man A-Mac talk crazy over there, bro. Ain't no way in the world Dak Prescott is better than Jalen Hurts, man. Like, and don't give me this excuse of he got a better team around him. Dak's been there for a while, and he's been on some pretty stacked Cowboy teams, all right? And he cracked under pressure. That's the main thing. Jalen Hurts rises to the occasion. Pause. If you look at him, his first year as a starter, he took him to the playoffs, right? Wild card. Second year, took him to the Super Bowl where he could have easily been an MVP, all right? Third year, they jumped out with a good record. They kind of withered down the stretch because mainly he was injured, and then the coach wanted to be a Chris Russell disciple and be an idiot for the rest of the season. And then the next year, he takes to the Super Bowl where Kansas City made a conscious effort to take away Saquon Barkley to make Jalen Hurts beat him, and he did. So I don't want to hear this. Dak Prescott is not a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. Don't give me this regular season stuff, whatever. They're not playing for regular season championships. They're playing for Super Bowl championships. And you want to go regular season, he has pretty good regular seasons himself. So, no, I will put Dak Prescott in the same category as I put Kirk Cousins. All right, they're good quarterbacks. We have a hard time getting it up during the playoffs. Pause.
Yeah, I was going to say, you forgot your pause thing.
I'm sorry, A-Mac. You know what I mean? I know you're a Giants fan, and I know being a Giants fan, your natural rivalry and hate is towards the Eagles. But yeah, Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback, man.
I've just never seen Dak with that type of defense from the Eagles. I don't know.
You never seen him with that type of defense?
Hold on, Paulie.
Michael Parsons.
Paulie, I'll let you talk. Hold on. I don't know when Dak Prescott has ever had an MVP to caliber 2,000-yard running back with two all-pro receivers. Like, come on, it's just a different roster.
Ezekiel Elliott, he came in the league with Ezekiel Elliott.
When did
Ezekiel? They leaned on Ezekiel Elliott. They had to lean on Ezekiel Elliott until Dak Prescott could learn how to play quarterback.
When were there two all-pro receivers with him? And that great of a defense.
Come on. Zeke had 1,700 yards.
These are rhetorical questions,
yards.
By the way, Paulie.
He had 1,500 yards. Seth, go. I'm giving you rhetorical answers. He had 1,500 yards, 1,700 yards. He had the team around him. He had tight ends. He had Dez Bryant. He had Cole Beasley. He had CeeDee Lamb. He had Michael Gallup. Well, Michael Gallup was there. It was a good number two receiver.
I'm starting my three-day weekend early here.
Stop with this Dak that had weapons around him, because he did. And he played on teams that had solid defenses, too. Hey, come on, man. Hey, they got two ball-walking quarterbacks. They have Michael Parsons. They have DeMarcus Lawrence. Like, they didn't have a problem stopping the run until Quinn's last season.
Let me jump in here and just say I agree with you, Paulie. Obviously, I think AMAC is full of baloney. What about the other component? Is Jaden already the number one quarterback in the NFC only?
Come on, in the NFC only?
Yeah. Is he better than, again, Jordan Love, Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford, or Jalen Hurts? All four of them.
He has the number one talent. He's the number one talent in the NFC when it comes to quarterback. You can't just give him. He just can't have 1 year under his belt and say he's better than Matthew Stafford or he's better than Jalen Hurts. To me, that's where it is with those two guys.
So it sounds like you would agree with me that you would take him over any of those guys right here and right now, but because he's only got one year in the bank.
Yes. Hey, Russell, what did I tell you yesterday, man? He got about 2.5 months before he started hating.
I know, but it says on the screen, two for two is great, but it says you don't know anything about the NBA Finals, so we can break this love affair if you want. We can get a hotel like Ben Conti wants us to do.
Hey, Russell, we'll do that tomorrow.
I ain't here, baby. You can scream to the high heavens.
Listen. You'll have the same stupid points when you do come back, so we'll do it when you come back. So they ain't letting you keep yelling at AMAC. Hail to the W, man.
Thank you, boy.
Hey, y'all have a good weekend, man.
You
have a good 3-day weekend, man.
You too. Thank you. Yes, because that is right. AMAC and I are both taking a 3-day weekend. We are slackers, man. We are slackers. I think you're going to be stuck with Linnell, but he doesn't answer his phone, so I can't confirm that. But either way, I ain't going to be here. And AMAC, I already know you're not going to be here.
Yeah.
Let's get to Mark in Laurel. Next up, Team 98. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How's it going, Chris? I'd like to say, you know, the guy is very over. People just look for clickbait. I mean, if you look back, we won. How many games did the Commanders win by 1 point? Say they would have lost those games. And you look back, Jaden Daniels could have thrown 20 interceptions, but the players just dropped the ball. So we wouldn't be having this conversation if they would have lost those games or they would have intercepted those balls that they dropped. This wouldn't even be a conversation right now. So, again, it's clickbait. This guy's not even close. It's clickbait. That's all I get to say about that. Have a good vacation there, Rooster.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. I'd love to go back and forth with Mark. I don't know how, like, a drop in your hands in front of your chest plate is a near interception. Now, if you want to talk some of the passes, as I point out all the time, there are drops and then there are non-catches. And not, by non-catches, I mean if a receiver's got to go up above, jump up, leap up, or even outstretch over his head, or significantly to one side or the other, to me, that's a non-catch. And that's more on the quarterback than it is the wide receiver in a lot of cases. But then there are plenty of people, whether they're right or wrong, that say, no. If a receiver gets his hands on the ball, he's got to catch it. I don't know. I don't agree with that. I think, again, as usual, there's context to everything. But I guess Mark's point that he wanted to make is because the Commanders had a bunch of close wins, a bunch of last play, game winning, last series, desperation type wins, the Hail Mary, obviously, the win at the end of the year in Dallas, which Jaden wasn't even in for. I guess the win in overtime against the Falcons, other wins throughout the year. I guess because of that, the Philadelphia win. Because of that, Jaden should get knocked. And his interception totals would have been worse if his receivers didn't actually drop the ball. that they would have been intercepted. I don't feel that way. Maybe I've got to watch every throw again. But I don't feel that way. Could he have had maybe one or two more interceptions? Yes, that is plausible. That's possible. But to say that that's the only reason why we're talking about him in this vein, I don't agree with that. I mean, here's one thing that I will say that is going to get kind of caught up in the wash here. Jaden might have, he might put up less numbers or lesser numbers, certainly, I hope, in terms of rushing attempts and rushing yards. He might put up lesser numbers, and people are going to look at that and say, what's wrong with Jaden Daniels? What's wrong with Jaden Daniels? Why is he not the same? And actually be a better quarterback. That's the kind of year that I'm hoping for Jaden Daniels. Less running, less scrambling, less need to do it, less choice, more throw, more find the open guy. There were times last year, plenty of times, where Jaden missed stuff underneath. Again, that's going to happen on every play. We don't know, A, the progression or the design of the play. So sometimes looks like, oh, a guy's open. He should have seen him, but he's going through other progressions. Again, we don't know the design of the play. But there were times where Jaden missed some stuff. But what I want him to be is less reliant on his legs, more reliant on his arm. And that might mean his numbers ultimately take a dip. But if he plays smart, and if he is not just steady, but if he is steady plus, not on a roller coaster, not up and down, not all over the place, not terribly erratic, who knows if they're going to win a couple of those games that they won last year against better competition, more games on the road, so on and so forth. More tape, more everything. And you don't know about injuries, right? But that's why I'm already like, okay, they won 12 games. I know that was a little bit inflated. I think they probably could win 10 games this year. That's where I'm pretty much at. I could see 9 wins. That kind of depends on injuries and other variable factors. I think the defense will be a little bit better this year. But Jaden, to me, again, I don't need him to throw for 5,000 yards. I don't need him to throw for 45 touchdowns. I don't need him to throw for 4 or 5 touchdowns every game. I just need Jaden Daniels to be what he was last year, super smart, accurate, turnover adverse, not risk averse, turnover averse, and to be healthy. And we know he got banged up. Again, for whatever reason, they refused to do a lot of things with that, whatever. To not get banged up significantly enough where it compromises his ability to play the position or where he can't even be on the field. That's what I need. I don't care about numbers. I don't care about fantasy stats. I don't care about your props. That's just what I need out of Jaden Daniels. Let's go to our guy Andre in Manassas. Been a little while since we've heard from Dre. What's up, Dre? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. Listen. You know, I'm torn about this because, I mean, we're not talking about the Lifetime Achievement Award here. And, you know, if that was the case, definitely Doc would get that. And I guess if you were to ask me, of all those quarterbacks, who would I want on my team today, you know, for the rest of, you know, the next 10 years? I mean, obviously, I have to say Jaden Daniels. I think he's the best quarterback in that regard. Now, ultimately, is he the best quarterback, you know, period, end of story? You know, I keep on going back to that, 85, 80% on, like, fourth downs. That was like something that NFL have never seen before.
Yeah.
And I mean, and that's a really, you know, there's so many different stats in the NFL, so many different stats in the NFL. You can't really pick one to, you know, ever say, well, this is the Mount Rushmore of stats, but that particular stat just tells me, you know, how much faith the organization has in this one guy. And, you know, there's no other organization that has that much faith in their quarterback at this particular moment in time, like, you know, the Commanders do. So, I mean, it's a weird question, not a bad question. I mean, I guess it's a sports question, and all sports questions are pretty ambiguous. But, you know, I would take Jaden right now more over anybody in the NFC East, simply because of his tenure, his projection, you know, and his youth, and the fact that, you know, if this guy at the helm, you know, we can be batting 90% when it comes to fourth down, and that's
right.
Just
well, I don't think that's going to happen every year, much like the come from behind wins, last second wins, what have you, are unlikely to happen every year. Maybe they will. I mean, Jaden is so accurate for the most part that I could see if Zach Ertz is a part of the lineup, if Austin Ekeler is more healthy, I could see where they're pretty, Debo, where they're pretty, and assuming Terry's back, I could see where they're very good to very good on fourth down. I just don't know if they're going to be as good. Remember, in the NFC Championship game, right, they ultimately kicked a field goal, which was kind of disappointing, but they converted two fourth downs on that first drive to start the game. You know? I just don't know if they're going to get to that level of success again. That's hard for me to see. But if they could, obviously it would be a huge thing. I guess for me, the biggest thing when it taught, again, I'm in agreement with you. I'd take them over anybody right now. That's easy. But do we value experience and having won a Super Bowl like Stafford, who's a little bit more erratic and a little bit more of a gunslinger, a lot more of a gunslinger? I would lean there because ultimately the body of work, the Super Bowl, and the consistency when he was actually supported, which he wasn't in Detroit. But I could also say, well, listen, Matthew Stafford is more erratic, more of a gunslinger than Jaden Daniels probably ever will be. And for that reason, I feel very secure in Jaden Daniels. And then we could talk about everyone else. To me, I think Jaden Daniels probably, in my mind, if I had to answer and just somebody forced me to do a ranking, I would probably put Stafford first, again, body of work style. And then okay. I would probably put, even though those other guys have more experience, I would probably put Jaden number two, at worst number three on that list.
So let me ask you a question, Rooster. I mean, I don't know how much of a gimmick you think this may be. I haven't listened to you in a while, but I presume you're out at Redskins Park all the time.
I am not.
How much stock would you put into that whole virtual reality thing?
I put a lot into it. I mean, I don't know exactly how it works, but they all swear by it. They say it's the greatest invention for quarterbacks ever in the history of mankind. And Jaden has figured it out, and Cliff has figured it out, and Blau has figured it out. And all of those guys have figured it out. And Jaden started using it at LSU, and it just transferred up here. They all swear by it. So I have to acquiesce and say, okay, I don't know exactly how much it helps, but they all swear by it. So, now the difference is every other quarterback is going to start using it, I think, probably, as opposed to just traditional film and practice methods. But we'll have to see. Good to hear from you, Andre. I appreciate you. And we will take a timeout right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. 40 more minutes or so to go in a Thursday afternoon end of the week special. That's right. We're out tomorrow right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, coming up, we're going to have some Booger McFarland audio on Jaden Daniels. to kind of wrap up the conversation. And this will be, listen, it's no big deal, no matter how you feel. Some people, I'm sure a lot of people, are probably going to say, Jaden Daniels is the number one quarterback in the NFC, just like Andrew Hawkins did, which how I kind of came up with this, and not even sweat it, not even think about it, not even worry. And maybe he is already. Again, clearly, I would take him over Goff. I would take, like, Jordan Love to me. Jordan Love to me is good to very good. I don't know if I've seen enough greatness from Jordan Love. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Am I wrong on that?
Because this was only his second. Was this his first or second?
This no, was this was his second.
Starting, right?
Full year. Yeah, starting. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's still much on the bone left for Jordan Love.
I think there's a lot on that bone.
Yeah.
I think he's good. Very good at times. I just...
And listen, I'm not mad at Jaden over any of those guys. I'm just surprised that you had him over Dak.
What is this with you and Dak?
We're talking about a guy who's thrown over 40 touchdowns multiple times, a guy who's been in MVP categories multiple times.
I mean, it sounds like he was better supported than you guys make him out to be.
What do you mean?
Like, you guys are sitting here screaming and whining, you and Cowboy B, who's no longer here, so we can talk really bad about him.
it's time to trash him.
You guys just sit here and talk like Dax played with the Sisters of the Poor.
No. See, this is what we're saying. Like, this is how people try to spin your argument. Dak didn't play with...
Wait, do I do that?
Yes.
I spin arguments?
Yes, you just
did
it.
Really?
Dak didn't play with as much talent as Jalen Hurts, so therefore we're saying that he played with Sister of the Poor. No one's ever saying that. What I'm saying is Dak has historically had defenses who couldn't stop the run. No one's saying there wasn't talent on the defense. That wasn't the problem last year with the Eagles. That's my point. And no one said Dak has never had all-pro receivers. I'm just saying he's never had two all-pros at the same time with a historically, like, one of the best seasons of running back has ever had. And all-pros up front. He's had one or two of those at the same time, but never as much. So we can't just go off of, oh, Jalen won a Super Bowl.
I mean, can we just judge quarterbacks when they have 10 bottles of top-shelf liquor on their team as opposed to five?
Yes, Dak has had, if that's what you're asking me, yes, Dak has had some incredible talent. Right.
Back to Jordan Love real quickly. The last two full years, obviously missed a couple of games last year. The thing that makes me wonder, worry a little bit about Jordan Love, in an era where 67-68% completion rate is pretty much the norm, 64.2 in his first year of starting, 63.1 last year. 32 touchdowns to 25 doesn't really concern me because he missed two games last year. So that's naturally a drop-off. The interceptions, though, were 11 and 11, meaning 11 last year and two less games. So that worries me a little bit. I don't know. I think Jordan Love is good to very good. I don't think he's great by any stretch. I think he's, out of all the guys that got paid, Trevor Lawrence, Tua Tagovailoa, did anybody else get paid last summer quarterback-wise? I think those were the big three. Maybe there was another one. I can't remember. But I think out of that three, I would absolutely take Jordan Love. But I don't know if Jordan Love rises for me to where I wouldn't take Jaden Daniels over him. As a matter of fact, I absolutely would take Jaden Daniels over him. I'm surprised that you guys are... Look, I said a couple of weeks ago that I thought Dak Prescott, because of his injuries, was probably a top 12-ish quarterback. But when he was last healthy, I had him easily in my top 10. I mean, it was towards the bottom of the top 10, But I had him absolutely, and there was a lot of debate and a lot of scrutiny about that. There was really none for me. All right, let's get to Jonesy here before the timeout, and then we'll let you hear from Booger McFarland on the other side. What's up, Jonesy? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Rooster? Man, you ready to take a three-day weekend and leave us with the tail? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I apologize.
Make sure you bring back plenty of equipment to bring us down, because we're going to be stuck up there on the daggone ledge for a few minutes. So, we'll be ready when you come back with the rescue equipment we're going to be looking for.
I will try. I will try.
Look at this. I'm taking Jayden over. I'm talking about quarterback Trey, and I'll just do for the length of time he's been here. We don't know what we're going to get out of him this year, but I think it's going to be a little bit better, because I think JD5, and that's JD James, he evolved, man. I mean, this dude he lives, eats, and breathes football. I mean, at the bowl, the playoffs, he was at all of them, checking things out, looking for weaknesses in teams that he probably going to be seeing. Well, we know he's going to see the Eagles, but other teams as well. You know what I'm saying? Looking for weakness. How could I beat these guys? I mean, he has a Michael Jordan mindset right now. He's only going to get better. That's through evolution right there. But as far as it goes with Dak Prescott, I'm sorry. I mean, he has had those teams. I got to agree with you and Paul. He has had the team. He should have done. He has had a lot of window, too. But the window he's had, he's done nothing with him. Especially when he gets to the playoffs. He come up real small in the playoffs. I don't care, you know, how you put it, what year you pick out. I mean, double-digit season, single-digit season, it doesn't matter. If he gets to the playoffs, he comes up small. First round, second round, doesn't matter. We got a quarterback that's been here a short period of time, boom, and got to the NFC Championship. Now, sure, you can sit up there and say, oh, that's who they play. Excuse me, but they get paid, too, on the other side of the ball, those defenses that he went
into. Yes, they do.
And he also got us out of some jams. That quarterback, he's elevated the team. So, therefore, yeah, and I'm not taking Jalen Hurts. I'm sorry, not enough. It's more team around him than him elevating the team. And with that said, Rooster, I'm gone, ball.
All right, Jonesy. Have a good weekend,
I'll
brother.
Right now.
Yeah.
Bring us down from the ledge when you come back.
I'll try and do my best. I apologize. I sincerely apologize in advance. I really do. Thank you, Jonesy. I appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Yeah, I mean, I can't even get a text back from Linnell, so I assume he'll be here, but I he's so busy that I can't.
Did you try texting him?
Yeah, I did.
That was a joke. You didn't get it.
Oh, you. Okay. I see. You're trying to make me look bad. I'm just saying. Listen, I trying to be a good dad while I'm also doing the show here. I got a little family situation going on, sad, and trying to help support my daughter and, you know, whatever. So I was a little bit distracted in that moment, so I missed your little dig. But yeah, I texted Linnell to congratulate him for going on the Junkies, for graduating, to elevating him his game to the big time. And again, just nothing. He's so important, he's so busy that he can't even text me back. All right. That's the way the cookie crumbles. We'll take a timeout after a trending alert, and then we'll come back and, again, allow you to hear from Booger McFarland. I think you're going to like what he had to say on Jayden Daniels. We'll do that next. All right, the U.S. Open going on, and today, J.J. Spawn with a first-round 66 at Oakmont and just outside of Pittsburgh. He had never played at the Oakmont Country Club in a competitive round, but that didn't stop him there on one of the toughest courses in golf. Again, 4-under par, no bogeys. First time a bogey-free round at Oakmont since Dustin Johnson in his first round back in 2016. So a good start there. We'll see if it continues. Meanwhile, still no word on the Commanders and wide receiver Noah Brown, who is having an MRI today, but we don't know the extent of the damage yet. Reportedly, and supposedly, a knee injury, although Dan Quinn would not get specific, nor, again, do we have the results of the MRI. Shamar Stewart, first round pick of the Cincinnati Bengals, who was in a contract dispute with the team, apparently left Cincinnati's mandatory minicamp because of the dispute earlier today. He had already not participated in the workouts, but he had been present at the Bengals facility. So Zach Taylor announced to the media that he wasn't actually there that they were just focused on the players that they have in minicamp. Meanwhile, Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final is tonight, Edmonton and Florida. After a Florida whitewashing on Monday night, Game 4, the Oilers sticking with Stuart Skinner, their goaltender, for tonight's Game 4. Just after 8 o'clock from Sunrise, Florida, TNT, True TV, and Max. And the Nationals are in the top of the ninth inning and losing 4-0 and about to get swept on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Incredibly stupid take. You suck. There are no incredibly stupid takes on this show, I don't think. Certainly from this side of the aisle. Maybe some of you out there might have some incredibly stupid takes.
You want to say something about this side of the aisle too, or no? Nobody coming to my defense here?
AMAC, I think you're misguided a little bit, but I don't think you have an incredibly stupid take.
Wow.
By any means. I think it's reasonable to say, look, Dak Prescott's a better regular season quarterback than Jalen Hurts. I think that's indisputable. And
the comments, our Twitter comments are not saying that. I'm getting called for my Giants bias and ego hater. Yeah.
I didn't think anybody was paying attention. Okay.
Well, if I go down, I'm glad I'm going down with you, Rooster.
I mean, you are an Eagle hater.
No, don't you start this.
I think you are.
What other take have I had that has been...
I mean, you pretty much took a big crap all over them and said, you know, the only reason why they won is because Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes is clueless.
No.
I mean, Andy Reid was too busy eating cheeseburgers.
I think every NFL franchise should look at the Eagles, what the Eagles have done, and kind of like remodel it.
Yeah.
They have been amazing at retooling at those key positions. The talent that they let go out the door, it seems like it doesn't faze them because they're always drafting so well at those key positions.
Yeah. I mean, here's a perfect example. They knew Darius Slay was getting towards the end. So they go out and they draft Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, and they can use Cooper DeJean really in a lot of different ways, versatile like chess piece. And they get those guys up because they know, again, that Bradbury and Slay are probably on their last in their last year with the team. And then on top of that, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who has been a hot-button type player for them and ironically has been sent away, sent packing by the Eagles two out of the last 3 years, and then came back in between to win a Super Bowl. That's how they do. Like, that's the way they have built their roster for the most part. Again, they made a huge mistake with Carson Wentz. But the way they have built their roster is ideally the way you want to build it. Right? From the trenches. Yes, maybe they get a little bit of a lucky with Jalen Hurts. in that he was a mid-second round pick. But again, I think he plays kind of like where he was drafted until you get into the postseason. Then he plays like Superman. All right, I want you to hear this from Booger McFarland of ESPN on Jaden Daniels, because we keep teasing this, so I want to pay it off. Nobody's going to say a bad thing, anything, about Jaden Daniels until we get to week three or week four of the season, and for whatever reason, Jaden might be struggling, and the Commanders might be 2-2 or 1-3, and everybody's going to go, oh, what's going on with Jaden Daniels? Sophomore slump? Just like they did with C.J. Stroud last year. The difference is, I think, A, the Commanders probably have a better offense. B, probably. B, I also think Jaden Daniels is better than C.J. Stroud. For a few reasons. But here's Booger McFarland of ESPN recently on Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And in the NFL and football in general, there's an old saying that you make your biggest jump from year one to year two as far as the speed of the game slows down, as far as your ability to know what to expect, how to expect it, when to expect it. And we're talking about him after his rookie year. Think about that, guys. A 71 total QBR last year as a rookie. So the sky's the ceiling this year. We're expecting big things. And I think his ability to play so calm and so patient and so poised last year is going to be taken to another level. And I think that's the thing that has everyone in Washington excited. You juxtapose that to what's going on in Pittsburgh, where they have no idea who their quarterback is and everything is in disarray. Everything in Washington is in place. And now the enthusiasm and the excitement is starting to build there, because they know as long as he stays healthy and everybody around him does their part, he makes that next jump. We're not just talking about a team that can get into the playoffs. You're talking about a team that could have one of the elite quarterbacks in the National Football League. And when you have one of those guys, that gives you an opportunity to win a championship. That's the difference when you have a quarterback that can do what he did as a rookie. And now the game actually slows down his second year. I'm excited to watch him because I know how it was for me. My rookie year to my second year, it was like reading English to Chinese. Like, I understood it. I didn't have to get a translator. I knew exactly what was going on, and I can't wait to watch this young man.
All right, so that's some great stuff from Booger McFarland. Let me just say this. What he said most primarily out of that is the first year to second year climb. And that is very true according to many, many, many NFL people. I mean, I remember Mike Shanahan telling me that, Kyle Shanahan telling me that, Sean McVay telling me that, Jay Gruden telling me that, Kirk Cousins, and more. And you've heard that from coaches. There is no doubt that Jaden, year one to year two, should be even more proficient and even more like, you know, zeroing in. And theoretically, more successful. Theoretically. The only problem is, sometimes, it kind of works the opposite too, right? And defenses and defensive coordinators get more of an understanding of how to limit you and how to slow you down and what your weaknesses might be and are. So we do have to balance that, right? And we keep hearing, if they're healthy, if they're healthy, if they're healthy. Listen, one major injury. And I wouldn't put Noah Brown, if it turns out to be a major injury, I wouldn't put Noah Brown in the major injury category. But it's a setback. It's a little bit of a blow, just like it was last year. Did it hurt them? I would say in some ways it did. Because they truly didn't have a 1A/2 receiver at that point. And when you combine Noah Brown's absence with Austin Eckler down the stretch and Brian Robinson not being 100% right and the offensive line injuries, the offense sputtered a little bit. So, again, you just hope that Jaden Daniels can... I would assume most defenses are going to zero in on his ability to just take off and run and break them down with their legs. Now, I'm sure they all do it for Lamar Jackson, and they can't stop it. until the playoffs. Well, they couldn't really stop it, quite honestly, even in the Philadelphia playoff game. I don't think Jaden played badly in that game against this juggernaut defense that my guys tell you about. They turned the ball over. That's not on Jaden. I mean, the last one was on Jaden. The game was over already. Jaden played pretty well. So I hope that's the Jaden we get this year. Whether it means 10 wins, 11 wins, 12 wins, whether it means his numbers are not as good as last year, or they are better, or they're more passing. Like, ideally, I would like his passing yards to increase, his passing touchdowns to increase, his rushing attempts, and his rushing yards to slightly decrease, if not moderately decrease. And if they win 11 games, that's great. If they win 10 games, I'm okay with that. I'd like them to win 11, but I'm okay with 10. If they win 9, then we have a different discussion. All right. That's that. The Nationals are... the Nationals are making a comeback! The boys' bats are awake!
Are you? You're not scared to jinx it?
I mean, what am I supposed to do? It's 4-3 Nats, 4-3 Mets in the ninth. I mean, they literally did not wake up until just a couple of minutes ago. They literally did not wake up until just a couple of minutes ago. But here they are. With a chance. All right, we'll come back. Dum Dum of the Day next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Oh, yes. Before we turn things over to Craig Hoffman, he is not the Dum Dum of the Day, nor is Anthony Haney. They're just good, hardworking young men. This comes to us from the Smoking Gun. Headline, pool, float, pervert, pleads to felony charges. A 41-year-old wackadoo Florida man, and man, does his mugshots make him look like a winner. Woo! Christopher Monin, M-O-N-N-I-N, 41 years old, of Brevard County, Florida, admitted to sexually gratifying himself with pool floats. And he's pleaded guilty to a months-long burglary spree that netted him dozens of pool floats or inflatable partners, according to court records. He did plea, so they expect him to be in conjunction with a mental disorder that's unrelated to substance abuse or addiction, that he's amenable to treatment. So he's going to get basically what the judge called community control, 2 years of that, which is an intense form, they say, of probation that compares to basically house arrest. And then he'll be placed on a standard probation for 8 additional years. He was fined $840. He had spent 8 months in the county jail before being released on bond. Here's what I would just say. Listen, I mean, we all have some weird things about us, right? We do. Can you not try and get it on with a pool float after stealing the pool floats? That's kind of like a double weird thing, right? And then you look at the mugshot of the guy and you say, oh, okay, he's from Florida. That's why. Yeah, he told police that he sexually gratifies himself with the floats and does this instead of raping women, which I guess is a positive. I guess. I mean... He's had multiple burglary convictions, so I don't know what this tells you. Except they should probably lock him up for good. All right, thanks to AMAC. We're both on a 3-day weekend. we'll both return on Monday. I'm heading down to Richmond. Go Freedom. Go girls. The Freedom Eagles, baby, in the state semifinals tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Looking forward to that. Hopefully they win. Back to Richmond on Saturday, and away we go. Have a great weekend, everybody. Adios.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.